Well, this morning, we're going to have a kind of a special, unique service, this being the last one of the year. We're going to take some time to reflect on some of the ways God has been moving this year through our church, how he's shown up. And we're going to have several of our staff share snapshots from their area and what they've seen God doing. And to kind of prepare us for that, I'm going to read from Psalm 145. David saying this, "I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness." Listen to this. "Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness, and they will sing with joy about your righteousness." It's so important that we tell the stories of how God is working in our church, in our lives, to our families, because generations will only know that if they hear the stories. So we're going to hear a few of those stories and updates from, like I said, several ministries today. So first of all, would you welcome Allison Lewis? Allison is our elementary pastor. Let's welcome her as she comes and shares today.
Good morning. Everyone have a great Christmas? Oh, good. We did too. I mean, maybe snow would have been nice, but hey, right? Well, 2024 has been a year of growth in WC Kids. More classrooms, more kids, more leaders. God has really been so faithful in providing an amazing environment for ministry for us to disciple kids, because that's what we want to do, right? September 1st marked the first full year that we occupied the new expansion. I can't believe it's already been over a year. Isn't that great? And then in the fall, we actually paid off that building project, which was like, woo, awesome, right? Yeah, it was so great. Yeah, it was so good. Thank you so much for all of you who generously gave sacrificially so that we could continue to extend our reach to families in the community. It's been a wonderful blessing. So maybe you didn't know this, but WC classrooms, those classrooms back there, are used throughout the week, not only on Sunday mornings for our kids, but on Monday nights, we have classrooms open for children and for our adult small groups and other learning environments for them. We also, on Wednesday mornings, we have mom's group. There's over 100 kids and plus moms that come that are just connected in small group, and their kids are loved on by a team. And also on Wednesday evenings, Converge, our high school and middle school ministry, use those spaces for small groups as well. So lots of ministry is taking place within those walls. Lots of new opportunities were open because of all of you who so generously gave. On Sundays specifically, the new hallway has allowed us to move our second, third, and fourth graders into those dedicated spaces. We were able to create 8 small groups for them, and then it allowed us to open up 2 new classrooms for our ever-growing preschool and kindergarten kiddos. They were in the old hallway. But on an average Sunday, we have about 450 kids that are in our hallways. They're all exploring, learning, and connecting. We have an amazing team of over 300 volunteers that guide all of that activity. Really, it's without them. We could not do any of this without them. They provide the environments for kids to grow in their understanding of who Jesus is, and to see what the local church looks like. Foundational discipleship, that's what we call it. So what does foundational discipleship look like back there? Well, it looks like glue sticks and cotton balls. It looks like playing games and relay races. It looks like puzzles and Thomas the Train. It looks like being rocked by a volunteer. It looks like indoor playground time. Snacks. Always, always snacks. It looks like science experiments and small group discussions. It looks like laughing and sometimes crying. It looks like worship and hand motions. It looks like memorizing scripture, and right now we're exploring the Gospels. We all know that a solid foundation is needed in our lives. It provides the necessary support so that we can grow. We need something to build upon. So who loves Legos? Oh, come on. Come on, Lego lovers. Yes. All right. So I see adults and kids. Did anyone get a new Lego set for Christmas? Oh, look at all these hands. Yes. Zoe, what did you get? Luke Skywalker. Oh, Star Wars. That's awesome, right? Legos are amazing. So we love Legos too in WC Kids and in our home. We love Legos, right? So my niece loves to build with those Duplo blocks, right? They're sort of like the preliminary of a Lego. And basically, you know what she builds? Towers, singular towers. And then she knocks them over because there's no foundation, right? They just tip on over. Now she's two, so she loves it. These are some Legos that my daughter built. These are roses. Has anyone seen these before? Like flower sets? These are Legos, you guys. Look at that. I mean, if I dropped it, it would all fall apart, right? And all these little pieces, these are all Legos. So cool. So if you are an adult and you didn't know that Legos could be this amazing for you, you can go check it out. But we have another model at home that has a big foundation, too big to carry in today. But it needed a foundation, a solid one, in order for us to start all that architectural detail that would have been required. And that's what life is like. That's what life is like for us. We need to have a strong and solid foundation. So for us, I wanted to sort of express to you what it looks like for us to build a strong foundation for our kids. Maybe you've been wondering what happens back there. Yes, sometimes Legos, but a lot of other great things. We want our kids to have confidence in identifying and talking about God. We want them to know in their head who God is and what they believe. And we want them to know it in their heart too, so they can live it out. Because discipleship isn't just learning, it's living. There's a lot of things I have learned in my life that I do not apply, right? It's living it out. That's so important. So we want to help kids do that. We want them to make choices based on the beliefs in the Lord that they're learning from you and from us. So we focus on four spiritual habits because, as you know, if we can build good habits in our life, it helps us grow spiritually too. So the first spiritual habit we focus on is to spend time with God. We want our kids to have their own faith, right? And that means that they have to open the Bible on their own. That's owning their faith. We want them to have conversations with God on their own. And we want them to discover how best to connect with the Lord through worship on their own. The second spiritual habit is to spend time with others. Engaging in healthy community should be a spiritual habit that your kids develop. And healthy community doesn't just happen by hanging out with Christians. That's the easy part, right? Because we're not challenged there often. But the spiritual habit is growing in our Christ-like behavior and in our relationships when we're with other people who think differently than we do and act differently than we do. We know that our kids are bombarded with all sorts of voices throughout the week. And if we can help them disciple and understand who God is, who we designed them to be, it'll help them make good choices. In the Gospels, we really don't see Jesus doing one-on-one discipleship. We often see it in community. And that's why we focus so much energy on getting kids plugged in to consistent small groups. We really want to emphasize that. So in first grade, kids are placed in a small group. All the way through sixth grade, they stay in a small group for that school year with the same leaders. And that, again, it's the relational part of community and discipleship. Our third spiritual habit is using your gifts. You know, God created each one of us so unique with special gifts, talents, and passions, and that's with our kids too. And it's really important for us to encourage our kids to use their gifts, to notice that they came from the Lord, and then to use them to love God and to love others well. Maybe it's in worship. Maybe they love to sing. We can help channel that and get them involved in worship team. Maybe they're a little bossy, right? That's probably the gift of leadership that just hasn't been trained, but we have an opportunity to lean into that too. The fourth spiritual habit is to share your story. Kids need to learn how to talk about God, not just to him, but about him. And sharing our story is a really important spiritual habit. We want our kids to be able to talk about God every day and in normal conversations. I was talking to someone the other day when they were telling me that someone asked them, they were a Christian and they went to Lancaster Bible College, and they were talking to someone else and they were asking them about their faith, and they were like, "Ooh, you want to talk about God?" And they weren't interested in doing that, even though they're someone that attends church regularly. And that's just an interesting idea, because we're trying to encourage us to have boldness to share our story, and that's really important. Because when we talk about God and we talk about our place in his story, it helps us to believe it, to believe who we are in him. It helps us to understand him, and it helps us to own our faith. Sometimes the wins are hard to see in WC Kids, but whenever a kid takes a small step forward in practicing one of these spiritual habits, we celebrate. Spiritual growth is a journey. I'm 53 years old and I'm still on it. I haven't figured it all out yet. But I'm so grateful that God is patient with me. He is grace, and he is always calling me back, right? So you guys in this main service, you get to see the discipleship that happens a couple of times a year in here in the main service. The first one is baby dedication. Baby dedication is a first glimpse in parents taking a step of discipleship for their kids. They're making a public commitment in front of all of us that they want to raise their child to know him. That's so important. It's such a great family milestone. And then water baptism is the second one. Water baptism allows us to hear the faith stories of our kids, which is so great. I love hearing their hearts and their stories about transformation. And for them, it's the little things, like being kind to their siblings, about feeling less anxiety or fear about school. That's God showing up for them, the Holy Spirit, in these really small and tangible ways. I love hearing the kids share in our Take the Plunge class how they accepted Christ. And it's such an honor to be a part of all of that. In 2024, 40 families dedicated children here at Worship Center. And that is so awesome. And then 45 kids took the plunge and were baptized. But that's just a glimpse of the lives that have been changed here. I got this Christmas card the other day and I want to share it with you. It says, "Dear Pastor Allison and the WC Kids team, our family has been attending Worship Center for the past year and a half. In that short span, we have seen huge spiritual growth in our three girls. Our oldest recently got baptized, and our second recently asked Jesus into her heart. We just want to thank you and your team for having a big part in these decisions that were made. Our girls love church, and they can't wait to go every time there's an opportunity. Thank you for your dedication in teaching the word each week. It's making a big impact on so many lives, and we're so grateful to be benefiting from it." I'm so grateful that I got to hear that little story because, like I said, sometimes we don't always get to see the little wins. But lives are being impacted by God's word in WC Kids, and lives are being changed. I want to take some time for us to pray for families that bring their kids here, because we want home to be a safe space for kids to explore their faith, and we want it to be a safe space here. I also want to ask the Holy Spirit to give each one of us wisdom and how we can do our part in impacting the next generation. So let's pray. Oh, Father, we're just so grateful for who you are, for what you've done in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, I just lift up all the families here that have kids. Lord, I pray that you continue to impart your Holy Spirit wisdom upon them. Lord, that you would give them confidence to do the job of parenting that you've called them to. Whatever the circumstances are, Lord, I know that we have grandparents and parents that are speaking into kids' lives, and so I thank you for all of them. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless and give your covering and favor over our WC Kids team. From our staff to our volunteers, Lord, I pray that you continue to give us your wisdom as we guide our leaders, as we select leaders to speak into kids' lives, as we provide environments, Lord, I pray that you be a part of all the details. And Lord, as our kids walk out learning these spiritual habits, Lord, I pray that those roots grow deep. Lord, that they want to spend time with you. They want to share their life and who you are to others. Lord, that they would be blessed to see the gifts and talents that you've placed in them, Lord. And they'll boldly share their story wherever they go. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Amen. Well, I'm so excited to hear what's been happening in small groups here at Worship Center. So please join me in welcoming Betsy Torres.
Praise God. Praise God for what God is doing with our kids' ministry. Amen. Oh, and just a quick shout out before I get started. Happy birthday, Leilani, 23 years old. If you see her, everyone, please say happy birthday. Good morning, church family. It's a joy to be here today with you all. I'm excited to share how God has been moving in groups and here at Worship Center and what's ahead for 2025. Small groups holds a special place in my heart because I was a product of what small groups looked like. It was very instrumental in my life and my faith journey. My parents came to know the Lord through a small group, and their story and story of so many others, it's what keeps me going today. Amen. The heart of groups and why groups exist at Worship Center is through the lens of our main mission here, is leading people to be growing followers of Jesus who love God and love people. We do this by teaching people to know Jesus and obey what he taught, grow together with others, and serve our world by the power of the Holy Spirit. This Christ-centered belief has been in the DNA of Worship Center, and it's also very biblically foundational. If we look at Jesus's life, we see that this is what he modeled, being in community with his disciples, sharing with meals, and teaching them his word. The disciples, in turn, did the same after Jesus ascended to heaven, right? In Acts 2:42, it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. And verse 47, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Guys, that is a beautiful picture of what Jesus taught and modeled. Groups are where we see discipleship lived out, where people intentionally walk alongside each other, one another, encouraging growth in Christ, practicing his teachings, and supporting each other in life's challenges. To see the church thriving in community, loving and serving one another as Jesus lived and taught, this is the heart of groups. Let me share a snapshot of what God has been doing through groups this past year. Currently, we have about 114 groups at Worship Center. This past season, 1,037 people participated in groups. This means 29% of our groups, our church family, is actively engaged in groups, actively meeting, studying God's word, and supporting one another. Of the 114 groups, we have about 32 groups that meet at the church, mainly on Mondays. This place is popping with kids and people all around. We offer groups with special focuses, helping to equip people in the season that they're in. So the focuses that we have are for support for marriages, families, finances, people walking through loss, and many more. We've seen incredible diversity in our other groups, our other small groups, like young adults, families, singles groups, mixed groups, widows, couples. Most of these gather in the homes, coffee shops, and even online. We are grateful for our leaders who prepare and give their time to the groups they serve each week. So if you're a group leader here today in any of our groups, thank you for your yes. Thank you for leading in this season and building God's kingdom. This season, as I read through some of the group updates that I receive, guys, I could see a common thread. We have faced some really hard challenges. There has been loss, health challenges with our groups, our leaders, and our families. Definitely some challenges in our groups. But in the midst of all that, I also read, and I get excited about this part, I also read of God's love and faithfulness that is actually being walked out by his people. His faithfulness is leading the way through his people in the constant prayers, constant love, and constant care for one another. God's people growing together as the family of God. What a beautiful picture of what the body of Christ looks like. When there is unity and love, it makes a difference. And that is a huge win. And I can say that that is the biggest win of all for this season. And it's a big win for our church as a whole, the body of Christ. There have been many stories of care, of serving together, and connections this season. I'll start here with groups and serving. I loved how some groups came together to serve during Serve Week, Pack Hope, and coming together to financially give for Seeds, which was helping families experience homelessness. There's another group that meets, and they're dedicated for crafts, but not just any crafts. They get together to do cards to send to missionaries, to send to pastors, and in people in need. We can talk about groups and connections. This season, one of our young adult ladies group connected with our widows group. How fun is that, guys? They shared a meal and did a craft together. Both groups were blessed by this group meeting. And what a beautiful picture of that caring and love and doing life with one another. In two completely, totally different seasons of life, but coming together to do life together. I've talked with a few group members about what their connection this season has meant to them. And they've shared feelings of belonging, not feeling alone, the big church feeling small. My brother Andy Ortiz and his wife Nina, they weren't connected, so they decided to join a group this year. And Andy shared his story with me about what this has really meant for his life. He expressed how much he loves his group and it feels like family. His group meets bi-weekly. He's kind of upset at it because he wants to meet every week. He wants to see him every week. But actually now Andy is in the process of leading his own group for the off week. He just can't get enough. Groups and care. I want to share a story from Brenda Martin. I got permission from Brenda to share this today with you. Brenda had an accident, I'm cutting it very short. Her story is quite amazing, but Brenda had an accident in her home that left her immobile, unable to call anyone for 4 days. She was alone. A neighbor notices her trash is still out, calls her son, and she's found taken to the hospital. It's a miracle Brenda survived this. This is such a strong testimony all in itself. But through the process, Brenda was not alone. She was surrounded by family, friends, and her small group. When asked what she got from her group that sustained her, she says it was the cards, the notes, the phone calls, the meals, the visits, a video recording from the group. They got together, made a little video for her, and prayer. She could feel the prayers of her family, friends, and her small group. When Brenda was in a time of deep need, her group stepped in with love and care, surrounding her with prayer, meals, and encouragement. This is what the body of Christ looks like. A family that shows up no matter the season. Brenda is a miracle story, and we're so glad she's still with us. Praise the Lord. These numbers I mentioned earlier represent more than attendance and more than participation. As you can see, they represent powerful stories and life change. Stories of people finding, experiencing, and drawing closer to Jesus through the love and support of their group. Guys, let's never lose that wonder of the miracle working God that we have and how he uses us. Let's never lose that wonder and how he wanted us to be one, just like him and the Father are one. Looking into 2025, we are excited to see many more of these stories, to see a church thriving in community with one another. I admit I'm biased. If it were up to me, I want to see everybody in a group. It's like, line up, guys, we're all getting in a group. But for the sake of 2025, I wouldn't mind seeing that percentage of 29% go up by at least double. Is that too much? I don't know. But we can believe it together. Amen. I'm excited for the new group season that we are launching starting next year. We have a few young adult groups in the mix. Those young adults, don't we just love them? And seeing them thrive in this way, it's very encouraging. I think that's one of my biggest highlights this year. And I will end with this. As we prepare for signups next month, I encourage you to ask God how He's calling you to be a part of groups in 2025. Maybe it's time to join a group. If you're already in one, maybe He's asking you to open it up to others. Or maybe He's prompting you to step into group leading or hosting a group. Wherever God is leading, let's be open to His direction. Amen. Let's continue to lean in and look forward with hope and expectation. I'm excited to see all that God will do through you and our groups in this coming season. And today, I want to pray. Amen. Can we bow our heads and let's pray for our group season? Lord, we thank You. We thank You for the gift of community and the work You're doing through Your people and small groups. Please don't ever let us lose the wonder of Your works and Your desire for us to be just as You and the Father are one. We pray for Your guidance as we step into this next season, that more lives would be transformed, that relationships would be built, and our faith would continue to grow in You. Use us for Your glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm excited to hear all about what's happening in baptisms with our fifth and sixth grader pastor, Joy Landis. Please help me welcome her to the stage.
Good morning. It's awesome to be here with you this morning. Usually my Sunday mornings are with a bunch of preteens back in Route 56, and it's so much fun. But think back to when you were in fifth grade or elementary school. Or if you're younger than fifth grade, think of what it might be like. For me, I remember I loved to do crafts and create things. I also experienced stress in math class when it came to my times tables. Also in fifth grade, I attended Route 56 here at Worship Center. And it was a time that I started to ask questions and my faith began to become my own, not just following my parents into the church. And in fifth grade was when I made the decision to follow Jesus, to make Him Lord of my life, and to be water baptized. And this year, I'm sure you have seen and heard the many stories of individuals who have made that same decision, individuals who are young elementary schoolers and all throughout different ages and stages of life. It's been awesome to hear their stories. And people who choose to be baptized here at Worship Center, they actually go through a 3-week class. And in this class, they dive deep into the foundation of Scripture and what it means for followers of Jesus. They also take a look at the symbolism of baptism, and they reflect on their own story and how God is working in their life. So we have offered this baptism class for young elementary school students called Taking the Plunge. And we also have offered a class for adults and high school students. At the beginning of 2024, we recognized an opportunity for a class specifically for preteens in grades 5 through 8. This class we started working on to be specifically geared towards students in that stage of life. So we've run in 2024 our first 2 middle school baptism classes, and we have our next one planned for March 2025. In 2024, God has led people to Himself. God has led so many people to Himself. He has brought new life in the lives of many individuals. And it's such a privilege to get to hear those stories. I read back through stories of 152 individuals who were baptized this year at Worship Center. Yeah, that is a reason to celebrate. And in their stories, some of the details that stuck out to me, first of all, was the people who were instrumental in these individuals' walks with the Lord, people who led these people to the Lord. Think about, as I read these, what titles apply to you? Some individuals mentioned a child, a sibling, a friend, a teacher, a parent, a grandparent, a sister-in-law, a stepdad, a volunteer leader, a spouse, a son-in-law, and an aunt. All of these people were influential in the life of someone who made that decision to follow Jesus, to be baptized, and who shared their story this year. They also shared some details about where they were when God encountered them, when the Lord started this work in their life. People from young to old mentioned their home, a retreat, watching a movie, on social media, in prison, through a ministry of the church here and elsewhere, through a song, in the hospital, at an after-school club, and in the car. Do you find yourself at any of those places? Probably in the future year. I'd love to read Paul's words when he describes this new life that people receive through Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, he says, "So we stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, 'Come back to God.' For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." Maybe this reminds you of the time that God got your attention, the time that he brought new life into your situation. I would love for you to consider, how might God be drawing you to himself? Maybe it's for the first time ever. How might God be bringing new life to your situation? Maybe it's a part of your life that you've held on tightly to. How might God be drawing you to new life in him? And how might God be using you? A sister-in-law, a grandparent, a teacher? How might God be using you in the lives of those in your home and around the world? I'm so grateful for the many, many ways that God is bringing new life to us here at Worship Center. Thank you.
Well, we have so much to be thankful for, so much to give glory, honor back to God. I always say it whenever somebody talks about what God's been doing, it's so important that we then just present that back to him. So I'd like to lead us in a prayer for that. And before we do that, I was just reminded in the Old Testament, we see many examples of when God would move in a certain way in a person's life, they would build an altar, like a physical altar, and worship God and pray and mark that as a marker in their lives. And I was thinking about that as our team was sharing this morning, how important it is in our lives as a church, but also then as individuals, that we take the time to thank God for the way he's moving, recognize what he's done, whether it's through good times or hard times, times when God's voice is very clear to us, or maybe times when God may seem a little distant, but that we take those times to build an altar and worship him. And whatever that may mean to you, mark it in your life and share it with your children, if you have children, or others around you, friends, how God is moving, because that's how we encourage each other. And that's also how we make those markers in our life to praise and worship God. So would you stand with me as we pray and present this back to God? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, so grateful that we as a church family today could take these moments to just get a snapshot of some of the ways that you've impacted people's lives. Lord, we are so grateful. Lord, we take this time, God, of reflection and honoring you. And Lord, declaring again that you are worthy of all of our praise. And so we give the praise back to you, Lord. And we honor you and we thank you, God. And so, Lord, I pray for our congregation, Lord, as we are about to turn the page into a new year. Lord, I pray, God, that we would go forth in this year with a remembrance of what you've done, the confidence, God, that you are faithful, and we can go with hope, we can go with encouragement, we can go with renewed heart, God, to see you move through our lives, to be a blessing to you. And Father, we are so grateful for that. We want to show your love to others. And so we commit ourselves to move forward in you, with you, in Jesus' name. Again, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We give you all the honor and glory. And together we said, amen, amen. Can we just give God a praise for all that he's done, all that he's doing? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, it's been great to be together today. If you're new to Worship Center, we have a place called Connections. It's to my right on your way out here on the east side. If you stop by Connections, we'd love to just talk to you, welcome you to our church, or help you take a next step. Or if you have some questions about faith that you'd like to discuss with someone, you could stop by there. We also have a prayer team right down front. Feel free to come down. We love to pray with people and stand with you. So God bless you and Happy New Year.